The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. He, Jesus, looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. This is the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. There are four accounts of Jesus' ministry on earth. We call them the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why four and not just one? Well, all four have a very respectable reason for being. Matthew wrote to his Jewish brethren. He wanted them to believe that this Jesus of Nazareth that is doing all these miracles and speaking of heaven and of God and forgiveness of sins and life eternal, this Jesus is the Messiah that was proclaimed and was foretold in the Old Testament. He tied the Messiah to Jesus in the hopes of making the house of Israel accept him as the Messiah for whom they were waiting. Unsuccessfully, of course. Mark reads pretty much like a photo album, one image after another. And here is Jesus getting into the boat, and here he's getting out of the boat, and he is healing a blind man and a demon possessed, and restoring mobility to a crippled person, and so on. One picture after another. And then there is Luke that wrote to you and me, to the Gentiles. Jesus came to save all. His message is for everyone. His love helps everyone. His forgiveness is offered to everyone. Luke, the apostle to the Gentiles. And there is John, the editor of what that means to you and me that Jesus came into the world. John is the one that starts out, not Mary had a baby, but he starts out with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word was God. So John interprets the coming of Jesus, and he presents Jesus as God. God is love. Jesus came from the Father. He is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. Jesus is the resurrection. John presents us all of that. And then there is, again, Mark in our gospel today. You know that when we are little, we imitate the sounds that we hear. But if we don't hear sounds, we can't say anything. So at that time especially, anybody that was born deaf was automatically mute, could not speak, because they didn't know what sound meant. So Jesus touches the man's ear and says, Ephphatha, and the ears are opened. And with that, he begins to speak. You and I go through this lengthy learning process on how to speak, but Jesus just gave the man that faculty. Now he could not only hear the gospel, but he could speak the gospel. This is one more Kodak moment that Mark brings to us. Jesus in action. Now, Jesus touched you and me in the water of holy baptism. And he opened our ears to the Holy Spirit so that when the Holy Spirit speaks, we can hear. And by hearing, we can speak. That's what we do when we go like into Africa with tiny little gift boxes to those children with the message across the Atlantic, way in the Midwest of the United States, there is a little bunch of Christians that cares for you because they were saved by Christ. We proclaim and speak the gospel that we hear Sunday after Sunday in church, in all that we do, not only as a congregation, but as individuals in the marketplace, in the restaurant, in the mall, wherever we are, at work. Our conduct, our speech reveals our faith. Jesus' lesson that we learn, among others here, is that he came truly for all and not just for the house of Israel. He ventured up to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre, you know, is that little bump on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean. It used to be an island until Alexander the Great came and surrounded the island with his ships and said, "Tyrians, surrender." And they said, "We shall surrender never." He got mad then. Alexander the Great said, "Don't you realize that if I tell my archers to shoot into the sky, they would darken the sun? That's how many archers we have." And then the Tyrians said, "Well, then we'll have to fight in the dark." That really ticked them off. So he gave each man in his army a bucket and said, "Let's build a causeway to the island." Walls were so high, they were impenetrable with ships. So they built a causeway, and then they conquered the island. Nature kept piling on the sand to that causeway, and today Tyre is a mere bump on the map. From Tyre he went to Sidon, back into Galilee, but Tyre and Sidon were not part of Israel. And Jesus came to save all, and when they present a man to him, "Listen, you can help this man, just touch him," and Jesus did. Marvelous things happen when Jesus touches us. A life of a deaf man was like a living sentence. He was marginalized by society, probably could never get a job of any type. He could not communicate. He was considered a broken person to society, like not whole. He was not normal. He was abnormal. But marvelous things happen when Jesus comes. And when Jesus looks up to heaven, he teaches you and me that when we look up to heaven, we go straight to the source of our power, God himself, God's throne. Even Jesus looked up to heaven before he touched the man's ear. That is the source of our power. In Psalm 121, the psalmist says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" Not from the hills. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The hills are the things that the world deems important, like youth, health, a good job, 2 cars in the garage, friends, food in the refrigerator, money in the bank. Those are the hills that the world values highly. We don't diss the hills. We use them too. However, we know that the source of all blessing is God himself, that our survival does not depend on a job, that God will provide if we cannot get a job, that God will provide for our survival into eternity if we are sick and the doctor said there is nothing we can do. We are not to worry about that, because our source is the God, the maker of heaven and earth. He has more power than the hills that are quite limited in what they can do for us. Jesus teaches us that the source of this power is God himself, the God Almighty. So through healing this man physically, Jesus also gives him healing for his spirit, for the soul. He opens the ears, the word comes into the ear and makes the man alive spiritually. Jesus' help is completely forensic. By that, I mean completely from the outside. We do not cooperate. We don't have anything to do. Salvation is by grace. It's not merited. It's not something that we have to work for, that we have to deserve. It is given to us. Totally forensic. Just like forensic medicine is done just by the doctor without any help from the person on whom the doctor is performing an autopsy. A coroner will never ask his patient to say, "Now stick out your tongue and say, ah," because that person is no longer alive. It's forensic. He determines the cause of death by analyzing. So God comes to us forensically. It's all up to Him. And that's comforting for us to know, because we know it cannot fail. If it were up to us, it would fail, because we are not perfect. And we receive this forensic aid through faith. Faith that is given to us at baptism and that is strengthened every time we are exposed to the means of God's grace to us. Word, as you are hearing it now, and sacrament that you shall receive soon. Word and sacrament are the things that make faith strong. And if faith is beefed up, if faith is exercised and gets some serious muscle, then faith can receive weighty blessings from God. Blessings like abundant forgiveness of sins, peace at heart and conscience, tolerance with those around us, compassion for those that need it, mutual love, unity and harmony. Those are the weighty gifts that faith receives from God's handout, from God's hand. The Word and the two sacraments, holy baptism and the Lord's Supper, are available regularly here in God's house. For that reason, it is so important that we make it a habit of Sunday, setting aside time to hear God's Word, to receive His sacraments and be strengthened by that spiritual nourishment. We are made spiritually alive, and not only for a little while, but for eternity. And that's the good news that we can share with everyone around the globe, in one way or another. God leads and we follow. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.